San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB or tune in radio, you can hear us as the show airs on any device. And all these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire, a best-selling author, a lecturer, a marathon runner, and a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. I also love playing tennis.
Yes, you do.
And I love attending Servant Leadership Institute's National Conference.
Wonderful. So, on the line, speaking of tennis, you know we have the big BNP Paribas tournament coming up March
6th. I'm going.
Yeah, 6 to 19. But on the line, there's also a very prestigious and fun event, a charity celebrity tennis event, actually. It's the 13th annual Desert Smash. And we have the founder and CEO of Epic Sports, Epic Events, Ryan McCauley on the line. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. So it's crunch time. Tuesday is the day, huh?
We are 1 week out. you know, we got the wheels are well greased, and we're rocking and rolling. And you know, obviously, the countdown has begun, but there's a lot of excitement brewing. And you know, I'm just looking forward to getting out to the desert.
Yeah. I looked at the forecast. You're going to have great weather.
Yeah. And actually, just to clarify,
it looks like we're gonna have some great weather after some scary rain that they never have out there. So, yeah. I'd rather have it be done now. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It just washed everything off for you guys, so that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway,
looking really clean.
Yeah, to clarify, this show is airing Saturday, so it is coming up this coming Tuesday. You know, just to clarify for listeners.
Yeah.
And so, 13th annual. Tell us, you know, how you even got started in this thing, and it's just taken off, and it's such a great celebrity pro event. Tell us
thanks, Joe. Well, it started longer than 13 years ago, but my background is in pro tennis. I worked for Adidas for a long time and managed the tennis category for Adidas America. Mm-hmm. And I had a great career over there, and ended up moving to LA, taking a great job with AEG to get into the entertainment side.
Mm-hmm.
And once I finished up my deal there, I went on my own, started my own company called Epic Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our first orders of business was for me to, you know, the idea behind the Desert Smash is to bring together pro tennis and Hollywood for charity.
Mm-hmm.
When I was traveling the world, going to tennis events for Adidas, you know, everywhere I went, I saw celebrities there who were just taking in the tennis, taking in Wimbledon, taking in the U.S. Open, and really having a blast. And it really echoed that they also love to play.
Right.
So on the flip side, I had so many professional tennis players who were just dying to be movie stars, or you know, or to meet movie stars, or to meet, you know, other celebrities. So it was just seemed to me like a good niche. And you know, here we are 13 years later. So we started our first event. I think started with Maria Sharapova, Joe Pesci, and Gavin Rossdale. And we've come full circle, and you know, those guys are still supportive of the event. But you know, this year we've got John Hamm, who's hosting it, the star of Mad Men, and you know, quite a TV and film actor.
And you get top men and women players to come. I saw Novak Djokovic. Is he coming again this year?
Absolutely. Well, with some of these top guys, it's kind of last minute we get these guys. You know, for Novak, he's actually playing, took a wild card in Acapulco, so you know, he very well could be in that final on Sunday and maybe not come back to Monday. So we're a little bit up in the air with Novak. But you know, as far as the pro players are coming, two of our anchors are the winningest doubles team of all time, Mike and Bob Bryan.
Wow.
These guys are going to go down as the greatest ever.
Yeah.
They've got around 115 titles.
Yeah, they're the Roger Federer of doubles.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and they put on a great show. These guys, one's a righty, one's a lefty. They're identical twins. You know, I mean, they anticipate each other's moves before they even move on the court, you know. So
how about Will Ferrell? Is he going to pop in? Because I saw him.
You know what? We had a great run with Will.
Uh-huh.
For 2 years, for 2 years, we did the event benefited Cancer for College.
Ah.
And Cancer for College is Will's charity.
Right.
So Will anchored that for the last 2 years. Will has been kind of anchored that, and mm-hmm. all the funds from the event went to Cancer for College. This year, one of our main beneficiaries is the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Gotcha.
And John Hamm is coming out on behalf of St. Jude. And, you know, it's going to be actually really – I'm really excited to see John out on the court. I know John's a huge tennis player. We've hung out at the Open a few times together. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how his forehand and backhand is and how he can get on the court with some of the pros out there. It's going to be great.
I know the website is desertsmash.com. Yeah. Are there any tickets left? Are there any tickets?
Yeah, we've got – you know what's really cool about this event? You've got the opportunity, big opportunity for philanthropy, so you can come out and play with the pros. So we've got what's called Tenacity, kind of like a King of the Court type game that we've got going on.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got a pro-am where the you know, paying amateurs like you and I can make a donation and pay with the pros.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, following that, we've got a nice lunch. You have lunch with all the celebrities and the players. And then come that afternoon at 3:00 kicks off our exhibition where we've got, you know, the pro versus pro, and then the celebrity pro mixed doubles matches, and they're all mic'd up, and it's you know, they ham it up out there.
Oh,
and
that's fun.
It's a really, really good time. So
now I've seen you've had Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi, all these great players.
We've had so many great legends come through. I mean, Steffi, Andre, Maria. We've had Caroline Wozniacki. We've had Victoria Azarenka. We've had Murat Safin. We've had Sam Querrey. We've had Marty Fish. We've had the list goes on. Novak Djokovic. We've had, you know,
it's
Roger Federer come out through our evening.
So you never know. Hey, and then you never know. We should say where it's going to be at the Westin Mission Hills.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. We're thrilled to be back at the Westin Mission Hills, which is in Rancho Mirage,
mm-hmm.
just off the tent in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
They've been a great host for us. They got a beautiful grounds and
beautiful club. I play with the pro there sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah. The stadium is gorgeous.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's a nice sunken stadium. And one thing about the Desert Smash is it's really an intimate setting. So you really, really are almost touching the players when you're there. And, you know, there's not a lot, you know, just a really kind of open, you know, open access and, you know, really get a glimpse of what these guys can do really up close, which is really cool.
And then,
it's a nice kickoff to the Indian Wells event.
And then to top it all off, there's a live concert cocktail party at night, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a concert going on that night, so we kick off a kind of like we like to call it the after party, where we've got a kind of like a thank you for all the great money we raised during the day. We hope to raise during the day, and which we've got live entertainment and all the players come out, and we've got a nice red carpet and stuff. So it should be a pretty great night.
You've had some pretty big acts there. Justin Bieber, I see.
We had Justin Bieber on the court, and that, you know, he was coming to play and perform that night, and he said, "Hey, let me get on the court." So the big lefty from Canada, Bieber, got out there, and he played with Jeannie Bouchard, and then he played with Billy Bush, and we had a really, really pretty funny afternoon with those guys. We played Kevin Hart and John Isner, which is pretty funny. But really, really good time, and it's just like I said, it's just a fun afternoon and fun evening. So
yeah, if you're going to lob, you better lob Kevin Hart, not John Isner. But anyway.
Yeah, I know, right? Absolutely. But I can't thank you guys enough for having us on.
If you
want to check out tickets are available at desertsmash.com, and you find all the information on all the players coming out. And
perfect.
Get on our mailing list there and everything. So thank you, Joe.
Wonderful. Thank you,
really
Ryan. Congrats and thank you very much. And we'll
be
in touch.
Thanks again for having me, Joe. Appreciate
all right,
you
buddy.
Guys. Have
See a great
you.
Night. Take care. Wow, that was great. That was great. And another great benefit that happened this past weekend was the one for Larry Himmel's Foundation at Free Flight.
We just had his son, Miles, on.
Yeah. Have you been to that bird sanctuary?
No, I haven't.
It's right by the Del Mar Racetrack. It's pretty amazing. And actually,
I hear it when I run by.
Well, I'll tell you, they put one, I don't know if it was my plaid, red plaid shirt or whatever, but this one cockatoo, I never had a bird on me, but I put my arm out, the thing crawled right up my arm up to my head and started pecking at my
Joe, I told you not to wear the red plaid jacket in public.
So.
You just don't listen.
But anyway, that was a very, very great, very nice event. They actually gave a check for $5,000, his foundation. So,
nice.
Hey, we're coming back with Charles
Hazelwood and Art Barter.
Yeah, and he's in England, and Art is here with Service Leadership Institute. We'll be right back. Hang on. All right, we're back with It's Your Money, Your Life. We're going to be talking with the founder and leader of the Servant Leadership Institute, prior guest, Art Barter. Art, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today? Great to be with you.
Thank
you. You know, Art just flew in from Florida this morning.
Really?
Yep, just came in from Florida just for you guys.
Yeah. It's probably drier there than here, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot drier there. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep.
Well, I know you've got a big conference coming up March 13 and 14, as Richard keeps telling us about, and going to be down where the Sheraton, is it, or...
Sheraton Marquis.
Downtown.
No, the Marriott Marquis.
Or the Marriott Marquis.
I'm sorry.
Marriott Marquis.
Now, they've changed the name. That's still the one next to the convention center, right?
That is correct.
Okay. I know where the Marquis came in. Is it a new ownership or management?
They did a remodel.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So they changed the name. But it's the one by the convention center, by the water.
I remember.
The boats.
What was it originally? Do you remember?
I just called it the Marriott.
No, the Hotel Intercontinental.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was the Intercontinental. Yeah, originally. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I remember that.
Yeah, good catch, Joe. Yeah. All right.
Anyways, beautiful venue for a place. And I know, how many years you've been doing these now?
This is our seventh year.
Seventh year.
Here in San Diego, yep.
All right. Well, just to refresh our guests, Art Barter. Who is Art Barter? And give us a little bit about your history and background.
Quick business background.
Oh, sure. Well, President and CEO of Datron World Communications up in Vista, California.
Okay.
We design, manufacture, and sell military communications equipment to international militaries.
Okay.
Don't sell anything here in the U.S., and... So it's a little bit interesting business, as you can imagine.
I hope they're all our allies.
All our allies, that's right. It's all the good guys, if you can tell who the good guys are these days. We implemented servant leadership back in 2005, and 4 or 5 years into that, we were encouraged to share what we'd learned about implementing servant leadership, and we started the Servant Leadership Institute to share our knowledge in implementing servant leadership.
But your odyssey and your story and your history is rather fascinating, which led into the whole development of this institute, right? So tell us what happened with, I guess, Datron.
Well, it's Ken Blanchard got to me in 2003 and challenged me in my leadership style and basically said, you know, you really have to be a servant leader.
Were you an old-fashioned leader before?
I was a power leader, lived it. Thought I was a pretty good leader, but as my wife tells me, I could clear a conference room in about 3 minutes. So, you know, excuse me.
That's right.
So he started 2003, 2004. We went through, I was a subject in a criminal investigation with the Department of Justice. Basically got thrown under the bus with my employer. Was innocent, found innocent, and then had an opportunity to buy Datron and got a pretty good deal at the end of 2004. And when we bought it, we decided to lead in a different way. We wanted to get away from the power model. I had no interest in putting my employees through what I went through. And so we decided it was going to be servant leadership from that point forward. And started to look for people to train us in servant leadership and what kind of programs were out there, and found out that there weren't very many programs to help you implement servant leadership. So we spent about $500,000 and developed our own over about a three-year period. And that's the material we share, and we build upon it every year and add to it. New content comes out.
And who came up with the concept or the terminology servant leadership? Was that yourself?
That was myself. And the reason I love the word servant, because it requires you to do action. And you know, you can call yourself a different type of leader, but servant requires you to do something. And that's why I like that. And we stuck with servant leadership just to make sure people understand it's all about your action as a leader, your behavior as a leader. And that's really where we focus. And
because a lot of people think of leadership as being words. You get up like Newt Rockne and do the motivational speech.
Well, you've got to back it up with action, and you've got to back it up with behaviors. And guys like that, their players knew that what he said, he was going to do.
Right.
And the danger is when leaders say something and then don't do it, they lose confidence, they lose trust in their employees. And so we try and focus on, you know, the old saying of walk your talk. We've changed that to behave your talk. Quit talking about it, behave it, and do it. And so that's what we focus on.
So how would you best describe servant leadership? What would be a good example of it? A good example versus a bad example.
Well, I'll tell you what Ken taught me is you take the traditional organization chart that puts the CEO at the top, and you turn that triangle or org chart and turn it upside down. And the CEO is at the bottom. And our job is to serve those in the organization and help them become successful. And we say inspire and equip them. So we've got to find a purpose and a passion on what the organization does. And so you've got to find, what do you stand for? What does the organization do? Datron, we love to help people. That's our passion. And so that's what we rally around. And once you've got that and people know that you're serious about caring for them, it's amazing what people will do once they realize that you really care for them. And when you help them get ahead in the organization, and then if they invite you into their personal lives and you help them get better in their personal lives, that's unbelievable. So I had an older leader in the company said, you know what, I've been a power leader my life, and I'm not going to be a servant leader. We helped him create more time to spend with his grandkids. And today, he's probably my biggest believer in servant leadership because we helped create time for him to spend time with his grandkids. And he says, Art, I will do anything for you. And once you impact those lives, that's when you really see transformation in people and organizations.
Yeah, now this is not a small event. How many people do you expect?
We're probably going to be around 250 to 300.
Yeah.
We like to keep it below 300 because we like the intimate atmosphere. We like people to come and be able to talk. We're actually doing something different this year. We're setting up four different living rooms, if you will. So we've got couches and chairs and some coffee tables so people can gather in living rooms and sit and talk. We did that in Orlando last year and was amazingly successful. So we're going to do that this year.
Now, are these mostly C-level officers, or are they HR people, or is it
everybody? They are all through the organization. You know, we're SHRM, so they get SHRM points for it. So we get HR people, we get C-levels, we get mid-managers, both profit and you know, nonprofits attend. So,
well, I would think this could transfer to academia, could like you said, nonprofit, any organization, maybe even KFMB, huh, Justin? I don't
Cut me loose, cut me loose.
I know.
But almost any size, every and any size company or organization can benefit from this, right?
They can. And, you know, people go, well, it's soft, Art. And I say, you know what? It's not soft because as leaders, we still have to get results. We still have to perform as an organization. And it's one of the toughest things I ever did was you have to get results to make sure the organization is sustained. And you have to help your leaders transform at the same time. And they're all transforming at different speeds.
Right?
And that is one of the toughest things a leader can do is help people get better and transform and get results at the same time.
Gotcha.
And I tell folks it's one of the hardest things I've ever done as a leader. And
well, changing habits is hard.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
And I guess convincing a grizzled old CEO or somebody who's been doing something the same way for many, many years, what's going to get their attention is, you know, empirical results when you show before and after. And I'm sure you've got some stories about that, which we can get into, you know, after the break. But isn't that true?
I love to sit with CEOs who say, we don't believe in this. I say, sit down, let me show you the numbers, let me show you the results, let me show you, do you want 10% more return on your assets for your shareholders?
Less turnover of team members?
Yeah. Higher pre-tax profit, do you want to return more to your shareholders?
There you go.
And if they say yes, we can help them.
All right, there you go. That gets their attention, right? The bottom line, right?
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
So and obviously there's good value in all that. Well, let's tell the folks again where it's going to be March 13th, 14th.
13th, 14th.
At the Marriott.
Marriott Marquis down by the convention center. And you can go to servantleadershipinstitute.com for more information and tickets or anything like that.
Get in there, get registered.
Yeah.
We're filling up fast, and we've got a great, great lineup of folks that are coming in.
Outstanding.
So, we're really looking forward to it.
There's also a welcome reception, I believe, Sunday evening from about 4:30 to 6:30, going from memory.
Sunday evening, people come to town on Sunday, so we get together and just hang around, talk, and give people a chance to hang in the living rooms.
Very
and
cool.
Talk to each other.
All right. After the break, we'll come back with Art Barter, Servant Leadership Institute, and talk all about great results in the great event. Be right back. All right, we're back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is the time where Richard and I like to thank our sponsors, and premier among them is ABC Family Law, headed up by attorneys Sharon Blanchet and Lisa Christensen in the All-Women Family Law Office. And Richard has more.
Well, we're not going alphabetically because next is UBS. B comes after A, not U. But we couldn't do the show without UBS. Michael Carrancia and UBS, a big thank you. Also, it's tax season, our favorite CPAs on the planet. We got Polito Epic CPAs, more traditional firm, as well as Jason Kruger in Signature Analytics. Signature Analytics, of course, is a niche market kind of CFO service firm, so very specialized firm. We got both kinds. Also, our great friend Joel Greshkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Now, with all this money that these sponsors help you make, how about you stash it at Mechanics Bank? Sean Puckett, of course, heads up the San Diego region of Mechanics Bank. They specialize in working with high net worth families and families that own real estate businesses, escrow companies, and the like. Employee benefits, that field is a changing because of the possible repeal of what's known as Obamacare. How about Hub International, formerly known as Mars Maddox Insurance? Great employee benefits firm. Also, the LG Experience and the Lombardi Group, helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients. Paul Hines. Paul, of course, heads up Hearthstone Private Wealth Management, and he is the lead behind SeniorSafeAndSound.org here in San Diego, helping to prevent elderly financial abuse. I should say financial abuse against elders. That sounds a lot easier to explain. Also, for those of us who have no time, how about Elite Lifestyle Management with Michelle St. Clair, helping those of us who have no time with simple tasks all the way to more complex and time-consuming things. I highly recommend Elite Lifestyle Management. Also, the Geiger Law Office. Brenda Geiger has a huge event coming up at Loma Santa Fe Country Club on May 12th. Information on our website. Brenda, of course, specializes in estate planning and asset protection. And, of course, the subject of this week's show, Servant Leadership Institute, again, the big national conference on March 13th and 14th at the Marriott Marquis downtown with Servant Leadership Institute. More information at servantleadershipinstitute.com. And if you're listening to the show around dinner time and you're getting hungry, there's some things we can do for you there too, right, Joe?
Absolutely. The Very Good Food Foundation, headed up by Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac, who does great sustainability and food programs throughout the year. Four shows with us and four panels. They're airing on UCTV as well. And, of course, we broadcast from their annual Very Good Night dinner. I think this is the eighth one coming up in June. Yeah. And, of course, there's the Lestat's Coffee Houses, the original Normal Heights, the second in University Heights, the third in Hillcrest, all open 24-7, 365, and always crowded and busy, and everything is made fresh on site and delicious. And if you want more information about any of these sponsors, get over to iymoney.com. Across the top of the page, there's a sponsor tab and a drop-down menu. You can learn about any or all of them. And many have been working with Richard for many, many years with great success. Correct, Richard?
Going on close to 30 years. Yeah. Which is a long, long time.
Did you mention your friend's ranch out in Colorado? I don't know if I would.
No, I didn't. Okay. Because he bought it, so we no longer mention it.
He bought the farm or the ranch?
He bought the farm. More about that later.
He bought the ranch, but not the farm. Okay, good.
By the way, last week's guest, Mike Diebler and his wife Emily, did a great job at their Spartan race. Mike paced Emily. She came in about 290th out of 1,200.
Holy moly.
Yeah,
that's
so
like.
Congratulations to
that's
Mike
like
and
the ultra mud run, right?
Or 8.5 miles of obstacles.
Yeah, obstacles and mud and everything else. So anyway, congrats on that. It was a great show. I listened to
it. It was a great show.
Yeah.
But so, Art, speaking about breaking down obstacles in Servant Leadership Institute, how about that segue, Joe?
Yes.
You have got some amazing speakers coming up March 13th and 14th. Can you give us a quick rundown?
We do. You know, my good friend Ken Blanchard, he's been with us every year, mentors me, got me started on this journey. He comes down at the end of the day Monday, and we just hang out and talk on stage about servant leadership, what's going on. And Ken's a great guest because you just have to get him started talking, and then you just kind of sit back and let him go.
Hold on to the side of your chair.
Yeah, he's like, you know, you feel like you're sitting around a campfire when Ken's talking. So
he's author of the 1 Minute Manager and 1 Minute Everything, right? Best-selling.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is he lives in San Diego, right?
He's in Escondido.
Yeah.
He lives in Rancho Bernardo, and his company's in Escondido. So, yeah, he's real close. And
yeah,
so,
terrific.
We're doing something different this year. We're talking about the music of servant leadership. And, you know, leaders put off an aura. We all know that we can walk into a room and, you know, if we're in bad mood, people will shut down and not talk. And if you're in great mood, people know that you're in great mood and you don't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to help people understand the different music that a leader puts off. What's your beat? What's your rhythm?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your theme? And the theme is what's your words? What's your song? So
your lyric.
What do you do? A beat from a leader? Do you have a good steady beat, or do you throw curves at people? Mm-hmm. Do you have a good steady rhythm that people can get along with? And then, you know, what's your theme of the organization? And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. I'm actually bringing my keyboard down to do something on stage I've never done before. So
really?
I'm looking forward to it because it is going to be a lot of fun.
Huh.
Charles Hazelwood, though, is coming in from the UK.
Uh-huh.
We met him, talked to him. He is doing something that's real special. He's hired some local musicians. He's going to bring them into the group and show what it's like to be a conductor and bring gifts of different individuals and different instruments and what you can do to bring leadership together in the organization.
Wow.
And it's really special. We can't wait to see how people react to it. And what we love about Charles is he's helping the disadvantaged become part of the symphony. He's starting orchestras for disadvantaged and giving them a chance to do something they never thought they could do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Charles has a great, great servant leader heart.
Yeah.
So we got him, Michael Tatumbaum. He's from Kindred Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of our largest, he is our largest client. They've licensed our training material. Hmm. He does training throughout 48 states. They're training about 60, 65,000 employees
mm-hmm.
Throughout the organization. And you know, they work with primarily folks that are in the last season of their life. And some of the stories you get from that, one of my favorites is a nurse had a man come in and he didn't think he was going to make it. His daughter was going to get married. And he didn't think he was going to make it to the wedding. And the nurse asks, you know, what shoes are you going to wear? And she asked the family to bring in the shoes. She put those shoes on him every day.
Wow.
And put it in his mind that, guess what? You're going to go to that wedding. And these shoes are on your feet every day. Guess what? He made it to the wedding.
Cool.
And those are the kinds of things that servant leaders do over and above just mm-hmm. doing their job. They're real sensitive to what needs there are and help people meet their goals. And we've got some other leaders.
You may have your youngest presenter ever. I know her, Kristen Hadid.
Kristen, yes. We're excited with her. She is going to bring a different perspective from a younger generation.
She's under 30, Joe.
So I'll share a story with you. Some of the feedback we got several years ago, we had John Maxwell, myself, Ken Blanchard, Stephen M. R. Covey, and Cheryl Batchelder on the stage all at one time. And some of the feedback was, it looks like the good old boy network up there.
Well, no, Cheryl was there, so we had both youth and beauty.
We bounced it out with Cheryl. Yeah, you know, she wasn't one of the good old boys, but we said, you know what, we've got to get different perspectives in. And so we're a little bit more diverse this year in our speakers, coming from different directions, but they're all themed around what's the music that leaders put off in their organizations.
Well, you know what I'll do for you, since you're a friend of the show, a few months ago, I don't know how recently it was, but we had the CEO of the San Diego Symphony here, and she's only been here 2 years, Martha mm-hmm. Gilmer.
Martha Gilmer.
I'll put you in touch. I'll alert her to this.
Oh, that'd be cool.
She and maybe some of her key people may want to be there as well, because she's very, very progressive, very visionary. And doing a lot of cool things.
They're doing all kinds of cool things to get the symphony out to, shall we say, everybody in town, not just...
As a matter of fact, the gist, I bet she already is on
typical
this,
demographic.
She already is on this servant leadership thing herself.
Oh, no question.
Taken over and done some very dynamic things. Anyway.
So one of the other things we did, guys, this year is last year we've always had breakouts in workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback has come back the last 2 years that we wish we could have heard everybody talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, we're doing a day and a half, having everybody in the same room, creating those living rooms that we're talking about, mm-hmm. and creating an environment where people hang together, and they get to hear everyone talk. You don't have to pick and choose which ones.
Sure.
And then regret that you missed this one, because the person next to you is telling you how great it is.
That's the same frustration at film festivals. You want to see all the films, but you can't. You got to figure out a better way to do that. So,
yeah, exactly.
So it sounds like you figured it out. So that's cool. Excellent. And of course, the website again, let's give it
servantleadershipinstitute.com. I know it's long, but stick with it. Servantleadershipinstitute.com.
Type it in once, folks. It'll be there
forever. It will be there. Or just type in servant leadership.
Paste it in.
We'll come in. We'll come up on the first page.
And inspire and equip your team to serve others first. So we'll be back with Art Barter right after these announcements. Hang on. All right, we're back with Art Barter, head of the Servant Leadership Institute, having their big conference coming up here at the Marriott Marquis right next to the Convention Center, March 13 and 14. If you have a company and you need to get your productivity going and re-inspire yourself and everybody else, you ought to get down there and get involved.
Absolutely. My wife Mary's going, so I'll probably pop in.
Yeah. How about our sponsors? Cool. Any of our sponsors going, Richard? We should invite some.
I think we got a couple going, but I forget who.
Jason Kruger, whatever. I mean, yeah. we should invite some of these folks.
I'll firm them up. Hey, Art, you wrote a really good book a couple of years ago called Farmer Abel.
Yes.
And you didn't learn your lesson. You decided to write yet another book.
Yeah, we decided to do. I actually have two books. One's coming out here, and the other one's kind of going through its final configuration, which will be a follow-on to The Art of Servant Leadership. But yeah, we have a behavior journal coming out, and what we decided to do, we have 9 behaviors of a servant leader that we teach, and that those are the 9 behaviors that we, in our training at Datron, learned that we need to focus on. So we go serve first, build trust, live your values, listen to understand, spend some time reflecting, think about your thinking, add value, be courageous in your leadership, because being a servant leader requires you to be courageous, because the world isn't quite ready for it, so you got to be courageous. Increase your influence once you start the transformation. How do you increase your influence? And then the last one, how do you live your transformation, really live your transformation? And the challenge in that part is, if you're a true servant leader, it doesn't matter who comes in front of you or in your path. You have to serve them the same way. And the challenge today is there's so much talk about all kinds of stuff that doesn't fit into your socially accepted box. Mm-hmm. And servant leaders don't get to pick. They don't get to pick who they serve. And a great example that I use is we have people in our organizations that, you know, when you ask them how they're doing, you're going to hear everything that's going wrong in their life. They're going to tell you everything that's wrong with the company, and you really don't want to talk to them. And you'd rather, you know, dump into the office in the hallway. But as a servant leader, you face that, and you ask them how they're doing, and you try and help them through what we call the unfolding of life's events, because everybody's going through this stuff, especially in today's environment. So the journal, it's actually a journal on the 9 behaviors. And so we take you through a 2-week journal process where we first, encourage you to learn about the behavior, then try and understand how it might apply to your life, and then set some one-step goals that you can accomplish in one night or in a day, and then come back and reflect on how you did and what you learned, and then start that process over. Mm-hmm. And you go through 14 days of learning about each behavior. Hmm. So it's 18 weeks, and so it's a journal. You get to write things down, and we're excited about it because everyone is asking us about how do you help people change their behaviors. Mm-hmm. And I use this method when I change my behavior is I journaled a lot, and it really helped me write things down and really go back and think about our thinking. And what I like about it is I can go back 4 or 5 years and look what my journal says, and I go, did I really think that back then? Because I was really screwed up back then. So, you know, it really helps you. So that's going to be released here at the conference. Everybody there will get a copy of it.
Neat.
And so,
of course, you have to be open to this sort of change. I have a friend who's an executive in a company, and his boss, the one who was running the whole thing, believe it or not, a woman, and a lot of problems going on there in terms of not treating people equally, and some really bad behavior. So,
I would argue that you need to extend the leadership as a leader, not just throughout the company, but into the community and into other places.
Right. But my question was, what do you do in that instance where you have someone in a leadership position who's really in need of this of your program and training and
You guys do interventions?
It's just like anything else. You have to have 2 parties, one to teach and one that wants to learn. Mm. And if that door is closed and closed tight, sooner or later that leader is going to be in a position where they're not performing, and they're going to be in a position they don't want to be in. Mm-hmm. And most people want to do something different. What we found is most people in organizations, from the top all the way through the organization, they want to do something different because they're tired of going through what they've been through. They're tired of the power. They're tired of being beat up. They're
the
tired
games.
Of not being able to, speak and be part. And as leaders, there is a lot of knowledge in our organizations that our people have. And one of our responsibilities is, how do we use that knowledge? How do we bring that knowledge together? Don't cap it. Use it. Yeah. And so
But there are some outfits out there. Matter of fact, that Wells is on the internet, and she was an engineer who started. I'll mention the company Uber, and she was a victim of. She spent a year there, and sexual harassment. I mean, from what her claim, it's was a big problem, and took it upstairs, and they said, well, that guy's a good producer, and nothing happened, and apparently, you know, some other. But they're gonna, they'll pay the price, and eventually,
they will.
You
know, they will pay the
cause
price
and effect.
And if you don't treat your people with dignity and respect across the line and, and don't take care of that, especially in this world where anger is so prevalent, and what we like to say is anger is one letter away from danger. And anger that we had 20, 30 years ago that was joked about, anger today isn't joked about.
Yeah.
And no, and it's at everybody's fingertips, too, with social media, et cetera.
It is. It
not
is.
Not healthy.
So, leaders have to react to that kind of stuff, Joe. They really do.
Yeah,
you can't just let it slide these days. You can't inspire and equip people if you're not willing to protect them.
And sometimes we have to be bigger than some of the politicians we see out there. Don't get influenced or too, involved with that, because you have your own business and company to run. And if they want to bump heads and yell, obviously. In a two-party system, you're going to have opposite points
of view.
There
was a great article in the New York Times last week about rudeness and politeness.
Yeah. Google it.
But, Art, I just rolled a big spotlight into the studio, and I know you don't like being in the spotlight, but sorry, you won a very major award about a month ago, correct?
Yeah, it is correct. An organization called Trust Across America and Trust Across the World. They're based back east. They are a company that goes in and measures trust, where a lot of people come together that believe in trust. And I was nominated by Stephen M. R. Covey, which was an honor just to be nominated. And
prior guest of this show.
Thanks
to Art.
And they recognize thought leaders in trust. And I was fortunate enough to be recognized this year as one of, I think, 82 or 84 thought leaders around the world in trust. So. Quite the honor, and they're doing some great work in trust. And build trust was my second behavior.
Right.
You
got
to decide to serve first. Build trust is number two, and that's there for a reason, because you've got to build trust. And if you don't have trust, nothing else matters after that. So, it's quite the honor. And so, thank you for bringing it up and take the spotlight and get it out of here now.
Okay, I moved it.
Are they teaching this in schools, in the military? I mean, this has universal application, right? I mean,
I will tell you this. There's a school district in North County, Vista Unified School District.
Yes, my old hometown.
Devin, the superintendent, he put servant leadership in the goal for the district. We're teaching his staff about trust and about servant leadership. And we've been doing that for about 3 years now, working with his team, and they're getting great, great results there.
Nice.
Just turned it around. And what's interesting is the studies, when you look at kids in elementary school, they trust people pretty good. When you get to middle school, the trust goes down. And when you get to high school, the trust really tanks.
Right.
And so we're raising children who don't trust.
Mm.
And we're every time we get a chance to work with kids, regardless of where they are or people who work with kids, it's not about the money for us. We'll go do it. And my team keeps telling me, Art, you're not going to make any money. I said, who cares? We're making a difference in kids' lives. And that's really what it's about. So we've got to help those individuals when they get in college. They've got to be able to trust people. And right now we don't have that.
Well, part of the problem, I think, is we're bombarded with the 24-hour news cycle. And you do see, the Bernie Madoffs and all these scams and local crimes and thefts. You see the lady, somebody stealing somebody's Christmas presents.
Joe, it's all fake news. Yeah.
Well, no, it isn't fake, Richard. But the point is maybe, we've got to learn to – those are far and few between compared to all the good that's going on in the world, except that gets all the attention. So maybe we need to educate ourselves a little bit better about our consumption of news and how it affects us, huh?
Well, one of the things we try and help kids, and we're doing this in Carlsbad with the Carlsbad Student Leadership Academy,
excellent.
Is teaching the kids to find their why so they can find their way.
Wonderful.
And we're doing that at high school level. We're in our second go-around with the city of Carlsbad. They're funding it. We're thrilled to be part of that. And so we're helping kids find their why. Why do you want to live? And what purpose do you have? And now you can go live your life and keep all that other stuff
And they'll learn more about that at the Servant Leadership Institute.
March 13th and 14th.
There. Art Barr,
Marriott Marquis. Art, thanks so much.
Thanks for being our guest, Art. Richard Musil, great seeing you. Justin Hart, our board operator, thanks for making us sound terrific. Thanks to Craig Blank, our co-executive, and to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. All these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com. See you next week. Bye-bye.